Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. My name is Michael Heidemann.
And this is Kevin Richter.
And Kev and I, we spoke to one of the most influential and pretty much well-respected bassists of all time back in January.
Living legend, Victor Wooten. He's a five-time Grammy winner. The guy, he plays most notably solo a lot of times, mm-hmm. or he's also known for playing with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. Truly an incredible musician. And just human being, and you know, really talking to him, the sense of relaxation and positivity that he just kind of puts out was like the coolest thing.
Yeah, like he was so thoughtful with most of his answers and everything, and just hearing him, you know, a guy who just plays bass 24 hours a day.
That's his life.
His life is built around this one instrument. It's almost like biblical in the sense David with his harp kind of thing.
He was in town back in January is when we spoke to him. He was doing a really cool event, and he talks a little bit about it in the interview, which we'll get to in just a second here. But he was in town for this Martin Luther King Symphony Orchestra thing where he was playing bass with a live symphony. I believe it was the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of a passion project of his own, as I recall as well. Like, he was really, really into it and what it was bringing to Chicago, and the fact that he was able to create all this music and then use it to showcase for this Martin Luther King event. Yeah. It was a phenomenal interview. And we're going to just take a quick look back at our interview here on Sound Sessions with the one and only Victor Wooten.
Hello, everyone. This is Victor Wooten, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Sound Sessions.
Yeah.
That was incredible. Holy cow. So welcome to Sound Sessions. I am Kevin, and I'm here with Michael. Hey, Michael.
What's going on, Kevin?
And oh my God, what an honor this is, hanging out with five-time Grammy winner, probably has won every bass award that you can win at least once, mm-hmm. Victor Wooten. Hey.
Wow. Thanks for having me here, guys.
Yeah, this is truly a treat. Bass player myself, big
All
fan.
Right.
So it's awesome for me.
Very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, we are sitting in the presence of royalty, as it is. This is great. Great. Thanks for joining us today.
So, yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Victor's in town. We're lucky to have him. He's here because he is playing in the Martin Luther King Jr.'s Legacy and Annual Tribute Concert. Can you tell us a little bit about that, actually?
Sure. It's an honor for me to get to do this for a few reasons. Of course, to celebrate a great man who, you know, done many, many great things. and has, you know, of course, been a big influence in my life. But I'm also doing a performance of a musical piece that I wrote with a great woman named Connie Ellisor, and it's an electric bass concerto. So it's an interesting piece of music where it's three movements following a classical style of concertos, but featuring an unclassical instrument, the electric bass. So I get a chance to stand where not many electric basses have stood, right in the middle of a big orchestra.
Wow.
You know, and play some original music. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's cool. How is that for you? Like, sonically, that's got to be a different experience.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's amazing. It's an amazing experience. Most people only hear the music from the outside.
Yeah.
But to really get to stand in the middle of it and hear it, it's a totally different experience.
I mean, I imagine you would be able to feel that almost.
Oh, totally.
That's incredible.
Totally. Yeah, it's great.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've been playing your entire life, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true.
You got in playing in your family band growing up.
Right. I'm the youngest of five brothers.
So how did that come to be?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember it. But from what I'm told, when I was born, the one thing I do know is my brothers were already playing. Again, mm-hmm. I'm the youngest of five. So when I was born, the instrument that they needed was the bass. So that became me right away to round out the family band. So my oldest brother, Reggie, was already playing guitar and ukulele because we were in Hawaii. Roy was playing drums. Roy is also known as Future Man. So the kind of a popular jazz band, Bela Fleck and the Fleck
Tones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My brother Roy, Future Man, is the drummer.
Okay.
Yeah. And my brother Rudy was playing sax and Joseph keyboards. So bass was me.
That's just what you do.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, you could be handed an instrument and not excel to the level that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel you kind of connected with it immediately, or how did that come to be?
It was just really a way for me. Well, first of all, I don't really remember thinking about it much, but it was a way for me to exist with my brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, every little kid looks up to their older siblings, either, you know, outwardly or inwardly, you know. But this was a chance for me to belong. I mean, you know, as a young age, we were a unit, and we went out and did gigs and things. So playing the bass was just my role. It's almost like a five-person sports team. You just fill in the role that's needed. So I wasn't really thinking, it's the bass or whatever. It was just, I was just a member of the band. Sort of like when you get in a conversation with people. You know, you're just using your instrument to speak your ideas. And so the instrument, it's hard to say. The instrument was kind of non-significant. You know, it was more just me getting to play music with my brothers, and my instrument just happened to be the bass.
Did you try to play any other instruments when you were starting out, like with your brothers?
No.
Like, okay.
No, I didn't. But as I grew a little bit older, and when I say older, because I started so young, older for me was still 10, 11, you know?
Yeah.
At that time, I'm realizing I can do the things that my brothers are doing on their instruments, on my instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing some strange things like learning drum solos, but learning them on the bass. I could see my brother Joseph playing with two hands on the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, if I handed him my bass, he could use two hands on the bass. So that let me know I could do it. And if you think of a saxophone player who plays, their hands are going vertically. Mm-hmm. But if you laid the saxophone horizontally, you realize it looks just like you're playing a guitar. And so I could get ideas from there. The cool thing was I was able to see that as mm-hmm. a kid. Anyone who grew up with my brothers would be incredible because my brothers are incredible. So living with them made it easy for me. They really deserve the credit.
They almost pushed you to a whole new level. Like, you know, being the youngest of five, I mean, mm-hmm. they were the ones that kind of put that motor in you, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, but not the way we would think about how you might push someone.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about if you have a little a baby in the house, you don't push them to learn English. You just talk to them.
Yeah.
And you let them talk back. You don't overcorrect them. You don't tell them they're wrong. Every word they say wrong. They don't know they're wrong. They're just allowed to participate. So I was allowed to participate with my brothers. And I had a role to fill, you know. And
yeah,
so I was able to pick it up really easily because they were my idols.
So that's the first cut of our interview with Victor Wooten. Excuse me. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more of Victor Wooten. This is Sound Sessions on WGN.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. So we're going to take a quick look at one of our past interviews. Again, you can find them all on WGNplus.com. We were speaking to one of the greatest bassists of all time, one of our just gems that we were searching for, Mr. Victor Wooten.
Yeah, so we're going to get into it in just a second here, kind of getting more into his family element and kind of how he got established writing with his family and becoming the amazing musician that he is today.
Yeah, you know, a common thread that goes through a lot of our sound session interviews is the fact that family is so important into a musician's life, and, and the fact that a band can almost be like your family.
It's true.
And Victor was lucky enough to have his family, his real brothers, be his band.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's hear it straight from the horse's mouth. Here is part two of Victor Wooten.
The fact that you played with your family for so long, do you remember some of those first songs you guys started out? Like, what was it? Was it Hot Cross Buns or?
I can't remember. There was one early song called Sky Pilot, and I can't remember who that was by. But one thing to think about, I was born in 64, so I'm the last one born. Everyone's born before that. If you think about music and radio at that time, now this was before pop music was a style of music. Pop was just short for popular.
Hmm.
So if you had a pop radio station, it played everything that was popular. So it could have been jazz, it could have been rock, it could have been the Beatles, could have been James Brown, Sly Stone. So my brothers and I were a product of that. So the music we were listening to was all of that. So it wasn't so much just one style. Even though we did gravitate towards Motown, soul music and things like that. But we heard it all.
Do you remember your first bass?
I do. I still have it, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's it looks like Paul McCartney's Hofner.
Okay. Oh,
very
nice. But it was a cheaper version.
Sure.
It was a Univox bass.
Okay.
And I still,
was it the violin style?
Exactly.
Yeah? Okay, cool.
I actually have a record called What Did He Say? And I'm standing in the woods with a bass down my back, and that's the instrument.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, you know, going along with the family theme, I know you have a son.
I have two sons
two
and two
sons?
Daughters. Yeah.
Wow, okay, so are you incorporating that musical atmosphere as well? I know I've seen some photos of you having your son come out on stage with you and things like
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
All the kids are very, very musical. Three of them are performing and doing musical things. The youngest one is so musical, good singer and dancer, can play instruments, but he likes sports better.
Okay.
Which was like us brothers, too. We loved sports. But they're all very musical. Whether they choose it as a career is up to them. But I did want them to have the musical gene and the knowledge, because you benefit in life and
sure.
in academics knowing about music.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
You almost exercise a different part of your brain
with that. And science is actually showing that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, a good friend of mine named Dan Levitin actually wrote a book called This Is Your Brain on Music, where they're actually looking at a lot of the things that happen in the brain when people are playing. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Absolutely.
Does that kind of speak to the fact that we have some friends that have seen you live, and if they get this kind of great feeling from the music that you play.
The connection, yeah.
What's that special sauce that you put into your bass solos?
You know, the main thing is I just love what I do, and I'm not afraid to show it. You know, a lot of us jazz musicians, we don't smile. You know, if the audience claps, we don't even acknowledge. But I want you to see. I don't even know. I do. I don't think about it. I'm just having so much fun. I realize how special it is to get to do what we do, musicians do. If you think about this, it's the only profession that I can think of that when everyone comes, they're on your side. People will pay hard-earned money to cheer you on and help you do what you do better. You know, for me, the closest thing is sports. But in sports, half the audience is against you. Right, in music or a concert, people are paying to cheer you on, hard-earned sweat and money.
Yeah,
and so everyone's on my team. I want to give as much, you know, of what I do back for people doing it. I don't have a career without these people. So
it's a good way to look at it. You know, hearing you speak and talk about your career and things like that, it's a really like inspirational mindset you seem to have. What inspires you, and what makes you? Continue.
Life. Yeah. If I were to ask you, when you're on the radio, what do you talk about?
Exactly.
Everything.
Open end, yeah.
So music's the same way, but I can talk about it and you don't have to know what I'm saying. You don't have to understand. As long as you're grooving, then mission accomplished. So I can get my frustrations out. I can talk about racism. I can talk about religion, politics, love, family. put it into music, I'm still safe.
You know? So is that what, are you like visualizing certain things when you're playing?
Sometimes yes. Okay. Sometimes no. You know.
Interesting.
No, sometimes like with this concerto that I'm playing this weekend, I'm still at a place where I have to think because it's so different for me. Mm-hmm. I had a good friend who was asking me, well, what are you thinking about when you're playing that beautiful melody in the second movement? And I was like, well, I'm just trying to stay in tune. And I'm trying to play the right note, you know. Yeah. It's hard for me to think of the gorgeous things, you know, with this because it's such a different thing. I have to think my way through this concerto because I have to memorize. The whole thing's not improvised. When I'm playing a jazz gig or a Flecktones gig, you know, I could be thinking about sports or anything, you know. So this is a whole lot different for me and a little bit more difficult because I'm thinking so much.
What was that thought process like when you went into it? Were you timid or scared at all, or did you just kind of like embrace it with positivity?
All of the above.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm timid and scared, I have to embrace it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and go into it hoping that the outcome is going to be beautiful. You know, I know that this will sound egotistical, but I know that I'm a good musician.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring that high level of musicianship into an unfamiliar territory. So I don't feel like I'm a beginner because I'm just going in there to play music, right? It's a different type of thing, but my musicality will help get me through it, hopefully.
Yeah.
Surely.
I love that. So there's a kind of a thought process with that that goes along with it, that every musician that we've spoken to and everybody that I kind of look up to as well, mm-hmm. they all have this moment where they take a jump or take a risk in their life.
That's
what
growth.
The growth part of your life. And everyone goes through it. Everyone kind of like needs to put themselves out of that comfort zone. What was that first time that you did that? And when you're like, well, I could take this path and be like a normal bassist, or I can be, you know, Victor Wooten.
I don't quite remember the first time because I've been playing so young, you know, and music for me, literally, and this sounds crazy, but music is like talking, and you sound different than anyone else.
Sure.
You know, you call your mom on the phone, you can say one word, she knows who it is. Mm-hmm. Your voice is so unique. And if I were to say, well, how did you work on that? When did you come up with that? You wouldn't really have an answer because you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Music for me is that way. It wasn't like something that I said, okay, now I'm going to be different. You know, your voice is different because of the natural process that you follow to learn to talk. Music for me is the same way. So music comes and talking comes from what you hear and what you experience. And if you're comfortable enough with your instrument, like your mouth and your lungs and all the instruments you use when you talk, you don't even think about it. So I'm not thinking about the bass that much. Unless there's a problem, I know how to go in, isolate it, and fix it. So that's a long answer to say I don't really have an answer to your question. I never tried to be different. Mm-hmm. I never did. Now, I always was trying to reproduce sounds that I was hearing. And I can remember a time where, okay, I have no known technique to get this sound. So how am I going to do it? And I came up with new techniques. I can remember that, but it wasn't out of a goal to be different. It was out of a need to produce the sounds I was hearing.
So that wraps up segment two of our interview with Victor Wooten. What a just down to earth, relaxed, good vibes kind of guy, you know?
True, and he had so many great nuggets of knowledge too. Music is like talking. It truly is. I mean, just to hear it come from such an accomplished musician was truly a gift that he gave us when he came by in January.
Yeah, so we have one more segment we're going to run with Victor. And welcome back to Sound Sessions. Again, you can reach us at 312-981-7200. That's both the call and text line. You can also reach us at Twitter or on Twitter at SoundSeshPod. We're on Instagram, SoundSessionsWGN. You can find us on Facebook, Sound Sessions Podcast. We actually just posted earlier today the entire Now Spinning section. So the collections of My Now Spinning, Your Now Spinning, and Roger's Now Spinning are all posted up on our Facebook page.
Fantastic. And, you know, if you or any other of the listeners that are tuning in right now want to get your music on Now Spinning next time we're on air, just, you know, send us a comment and we'd be happy to put your music on.
Absolutely. SoundSessionsPod@gmail.com. But to bring things back to what we were doing before the news, we were airing an old interview that we had with Victor Wooten, bass player extraordinaire, 5-time Grammy winner. He was in town back in January for a Martin Luther King Sinfonietta, I believe he called it. So we're going to get back into that. We have one more segment to air here. And in this, we kind of start off, I really kind of like this question in general, the idea of music. You can't really master it. You know what I mean? Like, you can be really great at some aspects, but you can't be a master. And Victor Wooten's pretty much a master. We kind of addressed that with him. Let's take a listen.
You know, nice. I mentioned all your accolades kind of going into this, and, you know, you've been playing your entire life. One of the things personally, like, as a musician myself, I like about music is I don't think you can be a master of anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's always something
Exactly.
Is there anything in your mind for your own playing that you just think you need improvement on?
All of the above.
Really?
All of the above. Absolutely. Because like you said, there's no end to it. That means
sure.
You can always get better. I feel comfortable.
I
feel competent. And again, to sound egotistical, I know that I'm a good player, right?
Right. But that's confident, though. That's not egotistical.
That's confident, yeah. Right? Some people could take it the wrong way. And a lot of us musicians, we feel like we're not allowed to say we're good. There's something about being artistic that we can't say we're good. If mm-hmm. I'm good at math, I say I'm good at math. But I can ask great players, are you good at the guitar? And they'll say, well, you know, I'm okay.
Right.
It's like we're not allowed to say it. But I say it. It's the truth. I'm a good bass player.
You're a great bass player.
Am I the best? No. Now there's a different story.
You're on the Rolling Stone top 10 best of all time.
Well, what do they know?
Sure. They had you at 10. I would have put you much higher.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Mm-hmm. When I look at the world of music and the world of bass, I know that I have made a mark. I know that I have contributed.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean I'm the best. Music's bigger than what I do. You know, if somebody wants a bluegrass bass player on their record, they're not going to call me.
Right.
If you want a reggae bass player, you're not going to call me. You're going to call me if you want what I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm the best at what I do. But music's bigger than what I do, so I can't be the best. People would ask my mom about that a lot, you know, when she was alive and we were young. She's talking about, you know, aren't your kids just the best? She said, well, I don't know. I haven't heard everyone yet. and I follow that. You know, one good friend of mine said it this way. He said, learning music is like trying to count to infinity. He said, it doesn't matter how far you count. You're no closer to the end. So learning is that way.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's true.
Now, I like the fact that you can consider yourself a great musician.
Sure.
Who do you see as the best bass player of all time?
I don't have a best because, like I said, like, okay, my childhood hero, and I'm still a child, so he's still my hero.
Yes.
Stanley Clarke.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I met him when I was nine.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I see him today, I feel nine.
Yeah.
He's still my
takes
hero.
Takes you back.
But again, if I'm making a bluegrass record, I'm not going to call Stanley Clarke.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I'm making, a reggae record, a country record, I'm not going to call Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
I want to call Stanley when I want Stanley.
Yeah.
You know? So he is definitely one of my favorites, but again, music is bigger. Music is bigger than Stanley Clarke.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I think of different styles of music, everybody just brings what they are.
Sure.
You know? And, you know, you're a bass player.
Yeah.
If somebody wants you on their record, they can't call me. They have to call you.
Yeah, okay.
So how can I say I'm better
right.
when I can't be you? I just do what I do and let other people talk about it.
That's a great mindset. Do you have, you know, you get up and you get on stage with these various musicians and you get up and you improv. Do you have like a certain improv jam or a certain musician that like sticks out in your head of this one time that, you know, was better than anything else, was your favorite?
Yeah, well, one that does come to mind is actually the first time I played with this good friend of mine, and who's another bass player.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Steve Bailey, and he, a longtime friend of mine, he's now the chair of the bass department in Boston at Berklee College of Music.
Wow.
And this is just one of many great, great moments, but I remember when we first played together at a NAMM show, which is a big music
yep.
convention,
mm-hmm.
and it was in Anaheim. We were both endorsing and representing the same amp company. And we just said, hey, let's just go do our performance together. And we got up there and played, and it was so smooth and easy.
Wow.
We were like, wow, we should record this.
Yeah.
But I will say this, even before that, the same thing happened with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones.
Yeah, it's just an effortless.
Bela put together this band for a television show, and because of a big storm, we weren't able to rehearse because my brother had this electronic drums that disappeared when the electricity went off, just like my bass. So we ended up getting to this performance in Louisville, Kentucky, and didn't get to really play together until soundcheck.
Mm-hmm.
But it went so smooth, and it blew us all away. We were only supposed to do one show, but we kind of all knew.
There's more to this story.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
that magic feeling almost.
I know. What is that? Right. What is that connection that, you know, you can play with one musician and it's fine, but then you play with another and it's like you've known each other your entire life. I don't...
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not sure if I can say what it is. I can say what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting together with friends and having a conversation, right? You don't call each other and say, hey, I'm coming over. Today we're going to talk about this. Here's what I want you to say.
Right.
You know? It just happens. And some conversations are more inspiring than others, but it usually flows. But it's because of your ability and your mindset. You know, you're open and we're all good listeners when it comes to talking.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we pick up an instrument, we don't listen as well because our head goes down and we're focused on the instrument. But when we talk, we're not focused on an instrument. We're focused on what we want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And what we say is based on what we've heard, what the other person said. So we're really good listeners. We're comfortable with our craft. And so we can just flow.
Yeah.
And when we can do that with music, the exact same thing happens.
That's great. I mean, you're making me radiate with positivity right now, by the way. I wanted to
it
know.
It makes sense to you, though, right?
It does make sense.
Right. A lot of times when we're teaching music, we make it harder than that. Everybody has the ability to play music.
Yeah.
Right? But we teach music through instruments and theory.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We teach language. We teach our kids the first language through talking.
Yeah.
That's different, right? We don't have to teach you how to use your instrument.
Right.
You figure that out on your own.
Yeah.
And then it's easy. So when I relate it to something that you can already do, it's like, wow, I can play. And that's the truth. You can.
The first time that I witnessed Victor Wooten was when my friend John, he's a bass player as well, he sat me down and he said, Mike, you need to check this out. And we watched you play Isn't She Lovely that YouTube thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to know, what's like the best thing that you've had from a fan? What have they told you? What was your best experience with a person who looked up to you?
You know, I'm lucky to get a lot of compliments.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, see, we live in a world where, the music world, where people usually only talk to us when they like what we do.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't like it, they usually don't tell us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing and a curse, you know, because sometimes we can start believing what everybody says. You know, even if I had a horrible concert, I'm just going to hear how great it was.
Yeah.
If I start believing that and don't keep progressing. So, again, it's a blessing and a curse. But the fact that, again, what people will pay and to come hear us, you know, that's a blessing. That's a great compliment in and of itself. And I'm fortunate, like, you know, Rolling Stones putting me in the top 10, you know. I mean, that's a gift. That's really a gift. I love that. Yeah. I wouldn't have put myself in that list.
Come on. We all know you were up there, man.
Well, I mean, I do appreciate it. But again, I still have my heroes, and
sure.
A lot of them are still alive.
Yeah.
And I'd put them in there first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Victor, I can't thank you enough for coming to hang out with us. This has been a real treat. I have like 1,000 other questions I could ask you, but I know we're pressed for time.
Let's do it very much.
Thank you, Victor. So there you have it, Mr. Victor Wooten himself, the man, the myth, the legend.
Mm-hmm. Truly a legendary guy, a great, great mind as far as music goes.
Absolutely.
And we close out with that beautiful rendition of Stevie Wonder's song.
Lovely.
Oh, man.
Yeah.